And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Again, thanks to Bob Look for joining us for our number one of the program. Coming up, it's going to be a little bit of a different hour because I have to take off, as I've talked about a bit in the last hour. Yesterday, made the long trek over to Pembine, 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I never got out of the car. I got to Pembine High School. I look at my phone, and about 10 minutes earlier, I get a text that said the game had been postponed. So I went 2 hours and 20 minutes that direction. I turned right around, came 2 hours and 20 minutes the other direction as the game was rained out. So what's happening today? They're making up the game, but at an earlier time. Newman Catholic will be taking on Pembine Goodman, not at Pembine this time, but at Krivitz High School. The good news is it's a slightly shorter trip, but not much. It's still about 2 hours long. So I got to get on the road, get to Krivitz, and then I'll be on the air at 11:50 a.m. for the pregame and 12 noon for the first pitch. So Newman Catholic playoff softball, a Division V regional semifinal against Pembine Goodman, 11:50 for the airtime, 12 noon for the first pitch, live right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. But that's not all the playoff action we have today. Also yesterday, the Marathon Red Raiders in Division 4, they had their game postponed as well. And Marathon will be taking on, who are they playing again? Princeton Green Lake. Marathon against Princeton Green Lake in a Division 4 regional semifinal. Tom Weaver will have the call of that one later this afternoon. It will be, again, scheduled for 5 o'clock at this point. 5 o'clock first pitch, 4:50 for the pregame with Tom Weaver on the call. So that's a playoff doubleheader today in high school softball. Newman Catholic against Pembine Goodman, starting with the pregame show at 11:50, and Marathon against Princeton Green Lake with the pregame show at 4:50, right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still provides live play-by-play of high school sports. And again, that's why this hour is going to be different, because we normally have Sean Wright on coming up in just a few minutes, because I have to leave. I apologize to Sean, saying, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here. Going to have to take a rain check and have him back in a couple of weeks. But he'll be back in 2 weeks' time to talk about what's going on at the Grand Theater in Wausau. So what we're going to do for the following two segments is bring back a part of a previous interview that I had with Wausau Mayor Doug Denny. I was going to say Jim Tipple. I'm going way back in my head, but Doug Denny, we had him on recently. We're going to take a look back at a portion of the discussion that we had. So we'll hear that coming up. And then in the final segment, through the magic of audio tape, because both myself and Ian Welsh came in early this morning, and we want to make sure we still have the number for the day quiz to give him an opportunity to get back over the 500 mark. Mm-hmm. So in the last segment of the show, we will still have our daily history lesson and then also the number of the day quiz with Ian Welsh. Have you got it? I hope you do, because it's another busy day. It's another long drive day for me. I tell you, that was crazy to go all that way to find out when I get there's no game, and then get right back. And it was more than 4.5 hours on the road for nothing. All those miles on my vehicle for nothing. So today the weather looking much better. We will have softball both with the Newman Cardinals and the Marathon Red Raiders. Before we go any further, need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, last night, and I know yesterday we were talking that you had a rehearsal and that the possibility of the weather could actually affect things. We did have actual tornado warnings here in Marathon County last night. We had severe thunderstorm warnings, I think, probably right in the middle of your rehearsal. Was that the case? Did you guys know about it, or were you just plowing through with your rehearsal, not even noticing what was going on outside?
Well, actually, I wouldn't know because I wasn't there.
Where were you?
My parents were concerned about the weather, and they didn't want me getting stuck out in the storm or getting hurt on my way to and back from rehearsal. So I sent them a message and told them I was going to sit this one out because of the weather, and it's a good thing I did because the weather was pretty nasty last night. And yet they still had rehearsal last night.
I will say kudos to your folks on that, because they looked at the weather, they saw what the potential was, and it turned out to be that way. I mean, I was actually on the air last night covering the storms, letting people know about what was going on. When there's tornado warnings, we go to wall-to-wall coverage. We stay on the air letting people know there's a tornado warning. Also talking about the severe thunderstorm warnings, and I was looking at the radar as I was reporting on it and saw the incredibly bright colors, and of course we saw some branches knocked down and some real heavy downpours. I mean, it was just amazing because I was looking at the radar and it started way up near the Upper Peninsula border, went all the way down right through Wisconsin, right down to the Illinois border. And again, just really a long and very dangerous line of storms. And of course, I mean, obviously you would love to be there and be part of the rehearsal and get some more reps in terms of getting ready for your show that's coming up a week from Friday. But again, sometimes it is better to be smart. And I got to say, congratulations and very well done to your parents for giving you that advice, and good for you to take the advice and play it safe on what was a very dangerous night.
Absolutely. I'm very thankful I was with my family, because the winds were picking up last night, the rain was coming on pretty hard, and the tornado sirens were going off constantly. So I think they were, I don't know if there was any tornadoes by our neighborhood, but the sirens kept going on and off several times. I don't know. Well, thankfully, we didn't have too much of a damage. We didn't have any, like, down power lines or trees. However, we did, our neighbors, which is weird, because our neighbors had their power outage, and so most of that block. But on our block in the neighborhood, we still have power. So I guess it affects everybody differently.
There was actually a lot of people that did have power outages in Marathon County last night. So that did have the effect. So we were fortunate. I was a little worried about that for myself, because if I get knocked off all of a sudden, or knocked off the radio. And of course, along, as I say all the time, that we're very proud to bring you the high school sports, but we're also very proud and it's very important that when we do have weather situations that we get on the air and that we let folks know that what is happening when it comes to the weather as well. So again, I know that it's always a thin line when it comes to making sure that the power stays on in certain areas that get nailed pretty hard. But again, the smart thing to do. But you'll be back at it tonight for rehearsal?
Yes, absolutely. The weather will be much nicer. I don't think it'll be much of a travel issue to get to rehearsal. I think the sun is actually supposed to come up by later this afternoon, and with the breeze as well, hopefully that'll help to dry things off a little bit.
Yeah, starting off a little dreary this morning. In fact, the rain was still continuing as I came in, just a few sprinkles and light raindrops coming down. But as you said, we expect the weather to be much nicer, and that's, again, knock on wood, because I don't want any wasted trips heading to do these softball games. But again, we are counting down. I mean, we are down. It's Wednesday, the 22nd, so that means you're down to 9 days to go before you open up.
9 days.
And again, we want to remind people, not just because it is just a classic show. I mean, Anything Goes from Cole Porter is a classic show. But again, for folks that care about Wausau Community Theater and the options that Wausau Community Theater brings to folks here in our area, whether it's performing as you do so very often and others do as well, but also just for those of us who enjoy going out to the theater, going out to see a classic show. We've heard the news that the Wausau Community Theater is in some financial issues at this point, but the best way to try to help them out is to buy tickets. And this time around, as we've talked a number of times, there are plenty of opportunities. There's really no excuse to say, well, I don't have the time. I just don't have the time, because you have eight different shows. I mean, there's eight different opportunities to be able to see this. And again, if you're somebody that does care about having opportunities for the arts here in Central Wisconsin, consider going to see Anything Goes again at UWSP at Wausau and the Venega Theater starting next Friday the 31st. And as you said as well, the first weekend you got three, and then what are the what is the schedule again?
Well, the second weekend is actually pretty busy, because it's the so next Thursday,
I believe it's next Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, the first weekend.
For the first weekend, yes.
Yes. We want to let people know about the entirety of the production. So
absolutely.
The 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. So the 31st Friday night. What time is curtain on your night shows?
Oh, let's see. Friday, I believe, is 7:30.
All right. So Friday and Saturday evenings. Sunday matinee
is a 2 o'clock show,
and then the second week you start on Thursday evening.
Yep, Thursday is at 6:30, and then Friday the 7th is at 7:30, and then Saturday we're pulling a double duty with two shows, a 2 o'clock and 7:30. That's going to be a long day, and then a Sunday wrap it up at 2 o'clock.
All right, so get those tickets now.
Plenty of opportunity.
Coming up, we're going to go back and have a conversation that I had with the Mayor Doug Denny. And then, of course, later in the hour, we'll have our daily history lesson and our number of the day quiz. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we're talking to the newly elected and newly inaugurated mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny. Mr. Mayor, let's talk about, I would say, perhaps the biggest issue of the previous campaign was water. People talked about water, talked about their bills, and in a lot of ways that turned into probably the issue that ultimately may have got you over the hump in a fairly close election. As you now take over as mayor, what are your thoughts? What are we going to see differently? Do you have plans formulated in terms of where we're going with the water issue here in Wausau?
Sure. So this will be one of those issues we talked about earlier that I will be bringing to council. And fortunately, or unfortunately, I think most of the city council who had contested campaigns that I noticed, because they were the ones answering the questions in the newspapers, that eliminating the pilot, the payment in lieu of taxes for the water utility, was an issue for them, and I think they're going to be eager to bring that up and discuss that early. So how do we minimize that? How do we eliminate it if we can to help reduce upward pressure and maybe offer rate decreases. And I think that's going to be one of them. And I don't know how we don't get that on the agenda as a priority.
Could I ask you to maybe explain for folks and even myself, where, you know, you don't have completely all the details, why is that something that would be positive, the elimination, or, you know, as I think we talked about it again during the campaign as well, even taking steps towards that, what are the big positives in that? And by the way, what, when people who may be against it would say, I don't think that's a good idea, what are the negatives? Because just to be fair in terms of maybe giving both sides of that issue, because you're right, I think that is one that was a major factor and a major discussion point in the run-up to the election, and obviously will have to be talked about again now with the new council and with the new mayor. Could you give a little bit of an educational aspect of why, you know, because you did, I think, bring it up as a council member as well. Give us the pros and the cons of it.
Well, let me start out with the pros.
Because that's why you're talking.
You know what? I'll tell you, I'm going to give you the cons first, because that's the position we're currently in, is that if we remove this, and it's a hidden tax because it is not itemized on your water bill. One could argue that we could itemize it on the water bill and that will make you feel better, but if we remove it, then it would have to be put somewhere else, is the argument. Mm-hmm. It would have to go on the levy. So then the argument is, well, you're just taking it out of one pocket and putting it in the other pocket. Well, not exactly, because if you think about who are the higher users of water are in the residential community, families. You have families with three or four kids. Typically, you're going to be in the lower. You're younger, you're going to be in the lower income stratosphere or the income brackets, and you're using more water. So you're paying more by paying that additional tax, which could be as high as 18%. The way I look at it is if pools, for example, the Y charitable organization, schools, schools use a lot of water. They water their facilities, that they're feeding kids all day long. So now you're putting that burden on the school district. So it's still transferring that money to the residents. And it's considered a regressive tax. So that would be my big argument, is it's a regressive tax. Let's put it where it belongs. So if you have $1 million home on the edge of town and a water sprinkler, you're going to be spending more on your property taxes than the person renting a house downtown Wausau.
How much do you think that would affect ultimately the bills?
Well, it could be as high as 18%. Now, if we take it all in one fell swoop, but if that's one point. Currently, it could be $2 million. We're currently charging, we're reducing it, I think, to $1.6 million. So that's $1.6 million in real dollars. What it turns out to in an individual's bill depends on how much you're using, of course. Mm-hmm. Is it gonna save you from going bankrupt because of unforeseen circumstances? You know, I don't know. It depends on your circumstances, but any bit of help, especially for those running month to month, check to check, is definitely a bonus. And it's also, look, if you're a renter and you don't think you pay water and it's covered in your rent, your landlord has to make that money up at some point. So if he's getting a whopper of a bill, it's putting pressure on him to raise your rent.
Are there any other areas, again, I think there were disagreements in terms of the process. I don't know if the process, but in terms of the roadmap. Because there have been changes within the state, and they're talking about, you know, federally in terms of water. What other areas maybe would we see any changes in terms of water policy within the city at this point? Or is it again something that's going to be just discussions in terms of trying to moderate in some ways the raises in terms of what people are seeing on their bills?
Well, one thing we're gonna have to look at in terms of we've got the lead service line replacement plan.
Right.
We'll have to look at how that gets managed. You know, we may be able to adjust our strategy there to be more efficient on our replacements. But that funding is limited. Right now it's a two-thirds grant, one-third loan. That loan has not been secured yet by the city, and it has not been determined who pays for it and where it goes. So, you know, we've advertised and actually we've committed to the residents this year that it would be done for free, quote unquote. We haven't determined by council how that's going to happen yet. Generally, it's a special assessment. So I don't think that there's a stomach for that because of what we've committed already. So we're going to need to be very careful how we work through that process. And it's a 5 to 10 year process without a clear funding source, mm-hmm. especially for that loan gap that we're going to have to come up with.
We're going to come back after an information update. We got a news update, weather, and sports all coming up from Civic Media. And then we're going to come back with another segment with Mayor Doug Denny. A couple of issues, economic development, I know is something that is continually looked at within the city. I want to kind of delve a little bit into that. And I want to talk a little bit about a couple of things that we've seen when it's come to police and the homeless community here in Wausau as well. So we'll come back with Doug Denny again, 2 weeks into a four-year term as the mayor of Wausau, and we'll talk more with the mayor coming up. The time is 9:28. Again, overcast skies and 45 degrees in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, talking to the new mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny. Let's jump into the idea of a couple of the stories that have come through in the last month. Again, had an election, had a transition in the mayor's race, but also a couple of interesting developments when it comes to police and the unhoused homeless community in Wausau. Number one, going back to late last month, there was discussions over the new officers, and there was quite a bit of discussion back in late March, and there was a lot of pushback against it. But then in early April, the vote was rather overwhelming to add the new officers. And then just in the last week, the vote to put funding up for fencing around the parking lot area of the police department. Beyond the specifics of the issue, something that I kind of wanted to throw out there, just in terms of the feel. And again, I'm somebody that usually says, feel is nothing. It's all about the ultimate legislation. But it does feel as though there is a change in the way that the police department and maybe even the city is looking at the homeless community in terms of, for lack of a better term, criminalizing somebody's status in life. And one thing, I don't mean to put you on the spot because, as you said, and you've had votes that are maybe even a little different than what was ultimately passed, but the idea of equal justice under law is something I've talked a lot about, and talking about people that have economic and political status, you know, in terms of having the economic status that I think does affect folks. And also something, again, I'm kind of rambling here, but also something that the chief had said about having videos of criminals and of criminal activity in that sense. I think everybody would agree that criminal activity needs to be handled, and that people cannot get away with criminal activity. But also, just about the status of people and how that affects how they're looked at by law enforcement. There's a lot there, but has there been a change in maybe the how we look at this issue, or is that something that I'm off base on?
I know, if you look at the two that you point out, actually both of them sort of bridged the old administration and a new administration.
Yes.
So I was actually on council when these came through, and I think the first passed while I was still on council, but the fence passed while I was mayor.
Yes.
From committee to council. So this wasn't a break in service between Mayor Rosenberg and myself necessarily, but I will say I have to give some credit to the chief for taking this burden on himself, but it is not his burden completely to carry, and that's where we talked earlier that the council needs a broader understanding of what our strategy is for the unhoused and what our principled philosophy is on how we want to be viewed as leaders in this and as a city around the state. So that's going to have to happen fairly quickly here, so that because some of the alders who objected didn't necessarily object to adding the officers because it may be a part of the pie or the solution, but they objected to it being the lead element, the tip of the spear, and without their informed consent, if that's the right word, and buy-in. So that'll be something that they're going to want to talk about early on. As far as the officers, what I think is interesting is that a lot of those may be filled from within, and those are officers who have served in the community and are in the community. We're not bringing in some outsiders to do some special job here. They're already in the community. So I would agree with anyone out there concerned about enforcement. If enforcement was the silver bullet, we wouldn't be here talking about it, and we wouldn't need to address it. One of the things that I would like to do, in fact, it just dawned on me, because I've got this book I may hand off to my alders from Robert Woodson, Lessons from the Least of These, and it talks about a principled approach to helping people out of difficult situations. And, I think we need to be mindful of how every decision we make impacts the least of these, and how we empower them to help themselves.
And in terms of trying to determine the best policy forward, I also think that it needs to be a shared set of facts, because I do think that there's a little disagreement where the chief has said that certain amounts of homeless folks are being dumped into our city, that are being brought to either to an emergency room or just being dropped here. And there's a disagreement by others who work with the homeless community and as well, that I do think that it's vitally important that we have a common set of facts as opposed to maybe opinions. And also talking about the fence that was approved last week. And again, I don't mean to, you know, to be accusatory of anybody, but it almost to me says that if the police are scared of these groups, you should be scared as well. Is that a message that is a good one for the community?
Well, let me.
And again, if I'm wrong, you can tell me I'm wrong. But again, I just have this sense where if the police feel like, hey, we need this to be safe, it almost says, well, everybody should have a fence around their property. And I don't think that would be a very good way to look at things.
So, anecdotally, on the homeless. You're right. Facts. We need to develop facts. And one of the promises that the chief has made is that these officers will help build data for us, so we'll know that. Sure. Because you're right, shooting from the hip, and you're sitting there as a council member taking anecdotal commentary from a lot of factors, from those who are advocates to mm-hmm. those who are maybe from the business community down here talking about an incident they saw in their storefront. That is their perspective, but is it the complete picture? We need to understand that. But I've had church groups come in and tell me that they recognize their neighbors by face, by name, neighbors being some of the homeless, mm-hmm. But in recent months have now begun to see people they don't recognize. So there's another anecdotal point. Can we run that to ground? Is it really a fact? As far as the fence goes, I don't believe that's a homeless issue, but I do believe it's a, you know, and I was against this at City Hall. We put in some security, added security at City Hall. Right. It was an expensive piece to keep people from just wandering in upstairs and throughout the building. I tend to lean to the side of trust, if you will. When I was a kid coming home from the YMCA, grew up in Green Bay, we'd walk from the YMCA to my house about 8 blocks away, and it was right, the route took us right through downtown. Wintertime, we would stop at, we knew where all the churches were, we'd take those routes, we'd duck into a church, get warmed up, and at that time I thought, boy, this is kind of cool, here it's Wednesday night or Thursday night, whatever, and we're walking home and the door is open for us. I don't think you see that today. So things have changed in that regard. The fence, though, for the PD, it's really that lot where they're prepping for their daily duty is an extension of the department and the facility there where they're doing their briefings, they're processing paperwork. They're in a protected status, so they're not being interrupted while they're getting prepped for work. They're transitioning from their civilian car to their police car. So I think there's a degree of security that they deserve. Now, does it require that kind of a fence to keep them out? I think that's the solution that they came upon. I was against the amount of spending that we were looking to do for that. A lot of factors come into play there because we could do a chain link fence and it would be very inexpensive, but then it might look sort of industrial.
Right, right.
So we wanted to keep the beautification level up. So, you know, I understand where the chief is coming from and where the PD has some concerns. And it is not from the homeless that we're fearful of. It's really of that transition that they're in their job as to, you know, keeping them safe. And then they can concentrate on the task at hand and the task ahead, as opposed to, you know, maybe some interruptions.
And finally, economic development. And obviously, I get a front row seat on some of the building here in downtown Wausau. Now, as you take over your position, how do you look at where we are? We had some issues in the past year with the developer. Where do we stand on that? And maybe even beyond that, generally, your thoughts on economic development, because I know that's something that's also going to be very much on your plate.
Well, that was the first question I asked our economic development director when I did that particular briefing. Where are we? Where do we stand? And it was one of the first phone calls that I made. It was the second week. I made a contact with T-Wall and his assistant, and we've.
Did you talk to the man himself?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So we have some understandings, you know, about expectations, and you know, I think it's going to be very positive news coming out here shortly. We have some expectations. You know, my expectation is that it gets built.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna see some activity coming soon, and we won't. Some of the details will be coming out and
not going to break news.
I'm not going to break news for you here, but it is positive, and I wanted to make sure that my expectation is that we're also not surprised. And here's another thing I've told to all of my staffers, in particular our economic development director. Good news or bad news, the sooner we know about it, the sooner I can help solve or at least be braced for it, and we're not surprised. Because the last thing you need is a news media breaking the news that mm-hmm. something's going sideways, and you don't even know yourself. So that's really an expectation that I have of all the staff and of our developer partners. If something happens, they run into, I joke about it several times, but you dig up Jimmy Hoffa's body across the street here. Hey, I want to be you. I want you to call me. If that's going to slow the show, that if we need to know these things early.
Interesting indeed. Well, again, I know you have a lot on your plate. Oh, one final thing is, you were talking about, and I said to you, I saw a nice note from Randy Radke yesterday about proclamation. That aspect of the job, I imagine that's a nice aspect of the job, to be involved in some of these events and giving that official, being an official and being part of a lot of the great events that go on in Wausau.
Oh, sure. This weekend was a event-rich weekend. We had tree planting out at Brockmeyer Park. I planted a plum tree, there are probably 40 some trees that were planted out there. We went to the Asian Pacific Market and did a ribbon cutting, which was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The
perks of the job,
the
right?
Perks of the job and the proclamations. We did the workers memorial.
Yep.
Now it was rained out, but I was able to link up with Randy, and we handed off the proclamation. So one of the things I'm going to do differently on proclamations, and I want to make sure that there's a recipient there, or we go out into the community. Last week, the Hmong Heritage Month, that horse man, right. I read the proclamation there instead of at council. So there'll be a few things that we do a little differently, but yeah, I'm enjoying that part of it.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the job. I know it's a brand new. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51 here on this Wednesday morning. Again, for total transparency, me and Ian came in early this morning to record this final segment. We are on tape for this final segment, but early this morning we came in and did this because I am actually on the road right now heading to Crivets to get ready for Newman Catholic High School playoff softball. Newman Catholic taking on Pembine Goodman, 11:50 a.m. for the pregame, 12 noon for the first pitch, a game that was rained out yesterday with all the rain that rolled through Wisconsin. So again, Newman playoff softball coming up at 11:50 this morning here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Today is May the 22nd of 2024. It is day number 143 of this year. There are 223 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1906, the Wright brothers were granted U.S. patent number 821,393 for their flying machine. On this date in 1967, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood premiered on PBS. Featuring Fred Rogers, a Presbyterian minister from Pittsburgh, it's public television's longest-running children's program. On this date in 1986, Sylvester Stallone signed a 10-picture, 6-year deal with United Artists for a reported $15 million per film, making him, at the time, the richest actor in Hollywood. On this date, back in 1992, it was truly the end of an era. After 30 years, Johnny Carson hosted The Tonight Show for the final time. On this date in 2003, I remember this. I watched this. I really was interested in this back in 2003 on this date. In Fort Worth, Texas, Annika Sorenstam became the first woman to play on a men's PGA Tour event in 58 years. And she did very well. I mean, she came out there and was very nervous, but she performed very well. On this date in 2004, Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, a scathing documentary about the White House actions after the September 11th terror attacks, won first prize at the Cannes Film Festival. And on this date in 2015, construction workers discovered an unexploded bomb from World War II near Wembley Stadium in London, England. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Bernie Taupin, he is a lyricist who works with Elton John often. Bernie Taupin is 74 years old today. Actor Michael Kelly of House of Cards is 55. Model Naomi Campbell turning 54 years old today. Sean Gunn, Craig Lynn in the Guardians of the Galaxy films is 50 years old today. Jennifer Goodwin of Once Upon a Time is 46 years old. Maggie Q of Insurgent and Divergent is 45 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday here on the 22nd of May, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Bitcoin Pizza Day. I have no idea what that means.
I guess I've ever heard of that.
I mean, some of these special events, and I put special in quotation marks, often do not make any sense.
Sometimes they're just weird.
I would say that is a good way of putting it. It is Emergency Medical Services for Children Day. It is Harvey Milk Day. He is the former mayor of San Francisco that was gunned down back in the 1970s, and a movie starring Sean Penn was made on the story of his life. It is International Bean You Day, so be you today.
Yeah, be you.
It is Buy a Musical Instrument Day. It is Maritime Day. It is Solitaire Day. I don't know if that means just being solitaire in your own way or playing the card game solitaire.
The card game is pretty fun.
There you go. So play some solitaire today. It is Vanilla Pudding Day, so I guess it's Boring Pudding Day. Vanilla Pudding Day. It is Sherlock Holmes Day. I have to admit, from time to time when I was younger, it's called Sherlock. And it is World Goth Day. So those are some of the special events being acknowledged here today. All right. It is time.
All right.
We are 1-1 with Ian Welsh so far this week with the quiz, our daily number of the day quiz. And we're going to try to make it 2 out of 3 today and clinch a winning record for this week. But our number for the day, it involves, and this one should be right down your alley in a sense. Maybe not specifically, but kind of. Because you are the big thespian. You're the big actor. You're the one that's involved in all these shows.
Yes.
Our number for the day is the percentage of Broadway shows that don't recoup their investment. Of course, there's a lot of shows that always open up on Broadway every year. And the percentage of Broadway shows that do not recoup their investment means they lost money in the end when they closed up shop.
Ooh.
All right. Is the correct answer of this number of the day 70%?
Oh, jeez.
80% or 90%?
That's pretty high.
You see that a great percentage of these shows do not get back their money. They close out before getting their money back.
70, 80, or 90. Sense of shows who do not get their money. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Mr. Actor, come on. You should know this one. Come on. I'm going right down your alley this time around.
Yes, absolutely. But the pressure is really on. Okay. I am going to say, I'm going with my gut on this one, and I am a thespian, so I'm trusting my instincts. I'm going to go B. I'm going to go with 80%. That's my final answer.
All right. So Ian says the percentage of Broadway shows that do not recoup their investment is 80. And again, the choice is A, 70, B, 80, and C, 90. The correct answer is 80%.
Yes.
So, yeah, you have yourself a winning week already.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad I got that right.
All right. Well, we're going to end it right there. Ian, have yourself a great Wednesday. Have a great rehearsal.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day.
And don't forget, high school softball, 11:50, here on Bow Falls Radio.